I think that's one of my key strengths, is that I pick things up quickly, I acclimate to the landscape, and look for efficiencies right away. If there was an area that was problematic or was distressed, they were like, well, let's put Perry in there. I would quickly get the lay of the land and then figure out how the best way to run that particular department would be to get those processes and procedures in place. Basically, wherever there was that pain point with the firm, where we really needed a process guy to be in there and stabilize things, that's been me.
Welcome to Trial Lawyer View, the podcast dedicated to the fierce yet compassionate lawyers who fight every day for justice in the courtroom. Our guests are top trial lawyers and their firms who share their stories and experiences, offering valuable insights into their journey, as well as expert guests who provide actionable strategies and practical tips for personal injury lawyers looking to optimize their operations, enhance client service, and drive growth in their practices. Trial Lawyer View is brought to you by Synergy. At Synergy, we aren't just a service provider. We are a strategic partner for personal injury law firms, seamlessly integrating with law firms to boost efficiency from day one. Outsourcing cumbersome administrative tasks like lien resolution and Medicare compliance to an expert partner like Synergy enables personal injury firms to focus on what they do best.
Welcome to another episode of Trial Lawyer View, where I'm joined by Perry Schneider, an accomplished attorney with over 20 years of experience in personal injury law. Perry is the managing attorney of the Social Security Disability Practice Group at Mike Morse Law Firm. He's played a pivotal role in helping the firm grow and streamline operations. Perry is also an incredible resource to personal injury law firms who are looking to accelerate their practices. As an advocate for operational excellence, Perry also serves as a senior business coach at Fireproof Performance, where he helps law firms nationwide optimize their processes, grow, and thrive in the competitive legal landscape. As a business coach, he's skilled in identifying key challenges, mentoring high-performing teams, and enhancing efficiency. With a proven history in C-suite leadership, he collaborates with clients to develop tailored, data-driven solutions that drive growth and elevate firm performance. In this episode, Perry shares his insights about the growth of the Mike Morse Law Firm and critical advice for personal injury firms looking to grow and scale their organizations. Perry, welcome to Trial Lawyer View, and thank you for being with me today on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I talked about in your introduction your background and experience, and I wanted to first talk to you a little bit about the Mike Morse Law Firm, because it's an incredible growth story. And I know you've been part of that. And in being part of building this firm, that's one of the largest personal injury firms in Michigan, you know, probably up there in the country. What are some of the most impactful decisions or strategies you've seen implemented during your time there that's contributed to its growth?
Well, that's a great question. I'll probably just start out with our dedication to knowing our numbers. We've always been very on track with knowing our KPIs, getting all of our key metrics, looking at them on a regular basis, and making strategic decisions based off our KPIs. And then the other thing that really strikes me as being a differentiator would be our position on advertising. When Michael came to market with advertising, he wanted to be different. He wanted to be outside the box. He wanted to take it to the next level. And so if you press me on the point, I would say really those two things, really paying attention to the business with the numbers, looking at the KPIs, and then really thinking about advertising at a different level and taking it to the next level.
Well, first, I've seen some of the performances in those commercials, and he's pretty damn good. And a lot of them are really amusing. I've seen them up on LinkedIn, and very, very creative, but also kudos to him because he does his part in it as well. But, you know, on your point about the KPIs, it's somewhat startling to me that in the practice of law, there's not as much focus on that typically in the operations of a law firm. We've seen it in law firms that we interact with when talking to them about their profitability and making sure that operationally they are operating at the most efficient way possible when looking at outsourcing, for example, services, like how do they evaluate how profitable they are? And frequently there's just not a lot of KPIs or metrics in that. And admittedly, in building synergy, it's taken us a while to get all of those right KPIs and metrics in place, but it's such a critical thing to understand all of that, to then be able to use that information to spend properly, to grow properly, and to look at places to become more efficient.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we really bring to the table with Fireproof, and that we've done well at the Morse firm, is that we've always known our KPIs, we steer by them. And it's very common for firms kind of coming out of the gate to have, you know, experienced some success. But they're attorneys. They're not business people. They really don't have that business acumen. And they just sort of grow depending on how the money's coming in, on when the cases are landing. And there's really no strategy to it. And then they're all of a sudden they can't make payroll because they really haven't done the forecasting. They don't know their numbers. They don't know how this quarter is going to be to next quarter to next year. And so getting a good handle on your numbers so that you understand what your inventory is, what those cases are going to yield, when they're going to yield, it just helps you make so many more informed decisions.
So you've been through this massive growth curve with the firm. Can you talk about what it was like joining the firm early on, especially my understanding is you joined right after John Natchell, the COO and co-author of Fireproof, came on board. How did that play out? How did it shape your journey?
It came in at a really interesting time because it was shortly after the building had burnt down, which is kind of where the Fireproof name comes from, is that the actual physical brick and mortar building that he had been in had caught on fire, and they were in a temporary space. John had just been hired in. Mike Morris had hit his ceiling. He had just so many vectors coming to him. He knew he needed help. He hired John to help out with that, and John really brought that business acumen to everything that Mike had done. Mike's an amazing attorney, had great success. But then John was there to really marshal the business principles and take it to the next level. I came in shortly thereafter, and I'm just a process and procedure guy. So I just started looking at everything that was happening and asking why. Is this the best way to do it? Is this the most efficient way to do it? And quickly rose to the leadership team and then just started to get to work, just streamlining the teams, streamlining the processes, and trying to make things as efficient and tight as possible.
So I know from reading about your background with the firm that you've kind of gone through a lot of different roles. And I'm curious, you know, how wearing so many hats over the years has helped you gain a comprehensive understanding of operations of a personal injury law firm?
No, that's a great question. I think that's one of my key strengths, is that I pick things up quickly and I'm very I acclimate to the landscape and look for efficiencies right away. So I was always with John and Michael. If there was an area that was problematic or was distressed, they were like, well, let's put Perry in there. I would quickly get the lay of the land and then figure out how the best way to run that particular department would be to get those processes and procedures in place. And so over the years, I've led pre-suit. I've managed a lot of big teams. I managed our Social Security Disability Practice Group. I've litigated. I've managed new software that's come in, the implementation of that. Basically, wherever there was that pain point with the firm where we really needed a process guy to be in there and stabilize things, that's been me.
So I know from doing my research that you were instrumental in a pretty significant operational change at the firm. Can you share the story about the huge shift in the firm's intake philosophy and how you developed a new department and procedures to handle it effectively? Because I think that sort of leads into the conversation a bit about fireproof as well, but wanted to have you talk a bit about that.
No, absolutely. So one of the things that, you know, silver lining that came out of the pandemic was really we've leveraged remote work. So we were able to start scaling and growing. And that really allowed our intake team to grow and for us to take more phone calls. But what that led to was more cases coming in quicker than I could scale operations. And because of the nature of the intakes, they changed as well. Before the pandemic, we mostly would have people coming into the office. We would meet with them face-to-face to sign representation agreements. Everything became electronic during the pandemic, and that's how we started signing people up. And we realized post-pandemic that we needed to do it the same way. We still needed to get the electronic signatures on the rep agreements. So we weren't having that equity with the client. We weren't having them come into the office. So bottom line was we ended up really lowering our bar for the cases that we were signing up and pretty much started signing up everything because we needed to get them early on or we would lose the case. And then I was really struggling with production, with being able to manage that number of cases coming into my pre-lit department. And what I found was because we had lowered the bar and we were signing up cases right after the accident, that there was a fair number of them that weren't panning out, that we were finding that the clients just did not have threshold injuries. They were not being super cooperative with us. So we were spending all of this time basically opening up these files and doing this front-end work on cases that we would end up just closing right away. So Michael really challenged me to come up with a solution to that. And what we implemented was what we called claims verification, where basically we created this buffer department between intake and our case managers in pre-lit, where we could really work on getting the client excited about their claim, getting them invested in their claim, and really vetting it at a second level before we got it to our really seasoned operation people to spend a lot of time on the claim and really, getting things going with it, because that had been a real big logjam that we had had. So it worked out really well for us because we were able to hire sort of these transition people that had some of the sales acumen of our intake people and giving them a little bit of the case manager training. And because they weren't running full dockets, they could really spend a lot of time on client contact on that front end. So they could be very persistent. They could make sure they could be removing obstacles that the clients had to getting out for treatment, making sure that the clients stayed invested, and then working with them to get them to the next level and really kind of telling them like, hey, we want to get your claim verified so we can get you with one of our teams here. This is what I need, X, Y, and Z from you. I need you to follow up with that doctor. I need you to get me a copy of your driver's license and a copy of your insurance papers. And it worked out really, really well having that buffer team in place, because then the cases that were going to production, to my main operations, were more thoroughly vetted. They weren't spinning their wheels, working on cases that they were just turning around closing. And actually, our close without recovery also trended down because this team, this buffer team that we ended up calling claims verification, they were just really laser focused. That was their job to make sure that these cases stopped, that these clients were communicated with regularly, and that we were getting the things in the file that we need to properly vet the case and make the best decisions on the case.
It's really interesting because we have a kind of analogous team that does verification of liens. So we discovered that we needed a specialized team just to do that, to make sure that when our resolution analyst got the file, that all the pre-work had been done, and to make it more efficient and a better outcome. So it's really interesting to hear you talk about that in the context of the practice itself, and fairly unique as well. So interesting that there is that analogy with what we do as well. I wanted to now ask you about Fireproof. So can you talk a little bit about what Fireproof is and what you do as a senior business advocate or consultant with Fireproof?
No, absolutely. So Fireproof essentially came out of the book that Michael and John wrote. A lot of firms were reaching out to us and saying, hey, you guys have experienced great success. We love what you said in the book. It makes sense. Help us. And so after a few firms did that, we started consulting a little bit. And it really has morphed into this great thing where we really do have a consulting wing now where we work with law firms that have experienced some success, but want to take it to the next level. And as I talked a little bit before about, you know, so many of these law firms that we start out with are kind of where we, you know, where the Morse firm was when I joined it, had experienced some success, some really good attorneys, but really needed to take those business principles and start applying it and start treating the law firm like a business. And that's really where we step in with Fireproof. Is we bring those business principles with a good background in the law, because we, you know, a law firm isn't a typical business. It's also the practice of law. So there's things that you can apply as far as business principles, but you really need to keep both factors in your mind, both the practice that you're doing and the business considerations. And so as a coach, that's what I'm working with these firms. Most of the firms, it's, again, they've experienced some success. They're wanting to take it to the next level. And I kind of jump in and really do an evaluation of where they're at, what pieces I think that they're missing currently that are really holding them back, do some strategic planning with them, because you can't get anywhere unless you've got some idea of where you want to go. And, you know, so that's one of the first things we do is kind of firming up that what is your 10-year vision, like big picture of where you guys see yourself in 10 years? Where do you then, you know, dialing it back and like, where do you see yourself in 3 years? You know, that should be something that you realistically can envision and that we can get to. And then setting the 1-year plan on like, what do we need to do in the next year to get us to that 3-year, get us to that 1 year? And then just working with them to make sure that they've got, you know, setting them up for success for that, which, you know, is looking at anything that they're missing. Often that is processes and procedures, getting everything documented, how everything is the best way to do everything in the firm, the most efficient way to make cases move through quickly, to make sure that the throughput is good, make sure they're dollars per day is good. Making sure that everything is super efficient, looking at making sure that they've got a good scorecard in place, that they are steering the firm based upon numbers that they're looking at regularly. So that's kind of like the ground up that what we do with Fireproof.
It was really interesting when Mike Morse was on the podcast, because we talked a bit about Traction and him working directly with Gino, and then the evolution of building something that was, you know, those principles, but developing it, as you said, for a law practice, which is a business, but it also is a law practice. So a little bit different in it. That's what was so interesting to me about the concept of Fireproof, was taking that kind of operations model, which we use, Traction, and building it in a way to customize for personal injury practice, and now taking that to the next level and using it, you know, in a consultative way for firms that you work with in Fireproof. So I'm curious, as a senior business coach for Fireproof, how do you use your diverse background to give unique insights that can benefit law firms in the areas such as operational structure, process optimization, and strategic growth?
So at the Morse firm, we've always been pushing things. We've never really been satisfied. We don't sit on our laurels. So we're always looking for what tweaks can we make, what improvements can we make, how can we take it to the next level. So I've just done that consistently for 6 years on the leadership team. I've tried a lot of things. We've done a lot of initiatives. A lot of them have been successes, but there have been some failures. So really, as a coach, I want to, you know, I jokingly said, like, then they're done that, got five t-shirts. I'm trying to prevent firms from making some of the mistakes that we've made in the past or that I've seen other firms make in the past, and learn from my successes and the Morse team successes. And whether that is something like the best way to, you know, utilize remote workers or whatever the specific issue is that is a pain point for them. We've been there and we've done that. Again, we've gotten a couple t-shirts. Let me walk you through that. Let me help you avoid the pitfalls. Let's just cut to the chase on what is going to work effectively in the personal injury space for a law firm and going to be a realistic solution for you, and to prevent that flailing around, which I think is one of the things I successfully do, is to really give them a very laser focused solution to a lot of the problems that's been tested, because we've done it and it's worked for us.
So in your 25 years of experience, what would you say are the three most common challenge law firms face when trying to scale? And how do you guide the clients that you work with to overcome them?
Probably the biggest is just the pace of it. It invariably, you've got, we like to talk about just our spigots, our levers of cases flowing through. Invariably, you'll ramp up intake. Well, actually, it starts with marketing. You make some improvements with marketing, and then all of a sudden, intake is buried. And then you get intake caught up, and then your pre-litigation is buried. And then 6 months later, your litigation is buried. And then down the road, then your team that's managing the settlements is buried. And so you have to come up with a good plan and be thinking into the future of, okay, we're increasing in our marketing spend now. We have to be prepared to have people in place that are ready to take those calls, that are trained, which is honestly really, you know, talk to one about just the pace of the scaling. Two is the training, really, that you have to have in place. You have to be ready to train the individuals that are going to take on that growth. And it doesn't happen overnight. The practice of law is difficult. It's very nuanced. And, you know, you can, you know, right out of law school, hire attorneys. They've got a skill set, but they've got to learn personal injury. That doesn't happen overnight. There's lots of nuances with it. Pre-lit paralegals, that's an incredibly nuanced job. There's so many things that they have got to be knowledgeable about. I've always kind of joked over the years with Michael, like, I can't just go to like case manager Mart and put five of them in the buggy and be ready tomorrow. It takes me a while to develop them. So you have to be thinking strategically on the pace of the cases as you're scaling, and then making sure that you've got the training so that you can get the people up to speed quickly enough to handle those cases.
I'm curious, like, when you go in and consult when a firm is looking to grow, what are the top three crucial steps that law firm owners should take to ensure that that growth is sustainable and manageable?
I think it really, you know, stems from what is their strategic vision. So, like, what are they looking to do in the long term? And then putting those, the next logical step in place and planning for the next step. And some of it is the equity that they have as well, because a lot of times they need the firm to do better, to have more money that to go into the business. So, looking at their inventory, how can you maximize what the value of the cases that you have in your inventory? So we've got the excess money to put into the scaling. And then one of the things that I try to focus on too is that scaling isn't always just hiring. As your case count goes up, a lot of times it's looking for the efficiencies. How can we handle these cases as efficiently as possible? so that we can have a higher file load, because a higher file load is going to yield more dollars. So that's really, I think, the mix is looking for the equity to be that you can put into the business, and then being creative about how you're managing the scaling, really looking at how can I find efficiencies? How can I do more with less, making sure that you don't have waste, that you're not doing duplicative things, that you don't have people that are spinning their wheels and just doing tasks that really aren't value adds on the case.
That actually dovetails nicely into what I was going to ask you next, which is I would assume that some of the work you do with the firms that come to Fireproof is looking at how to optimize operations. And I'm wondering if you can share maybe five key strategies that you help firms implement to streamline their business processes and enhance the overall operational efficiency in a law firm.
So one of the biggest things that I find is that people want to, again, it's just kind of add people as quickly as possible and do as little training as possible. So what happens is they put that ad out saying, I'm looking for an experienced pre-lit paralegal. I'm looking for an experienced legal secretary. I'm looking for an experienced this, that, or the other thing. And then they get people in and they dump files on them. And those people are going to do what they were trained to do at the last place. And then you end up with all of these work groups that are doing things differently. Some of them are horribly inefficient. God forbid, you know, you have got to transfer some files back and forth between people because they can't understand each other's files because everybody's doing things differently. Nobody's on the same page. So one of the things that I really try to do is encourage them to, again, with their strategic planning, to hire for traits, for people that are going to meet their core values, and train them so that you've got the bodies in place to meet the needs of your caseload as those cases are coming in. And then you do the training. You develop them the way that with the processes and procedures that you want with what you've determined are the best practices. And that is just talk about efficiency, because then you have everybody doing everything the same way on every case. And it's easy for other people to jump into other people's files. There's no drama. If you have to transfer some files around, there's no time that is lost. And you really can rest assured as a manager of a unit, or as John and Michael, as the COO and CEO, that, hey, we're doing the right thing on every one of our cases, you know, for our clients and to maximize the value. Because ultimately, that's our job, is to, you know, get the most money that we can as quickly as possible for every one of our injured clients, to get them compensated for their injury. And so, you know, we're not doing our jobs right if we have people that are doing things willy-nilly their own way, and some are better than others. We've got to have everybody doing their best and making sure that they're following processes and procedures that are going to yield their best on every one of our cases.
Well, you're making this easy for me, because you keep going right into the next subject that I was going to ask you about, which is, you know, if you're scaling a business, any business, and I assume a law firm is no different, recruiting and retaining high-performing talent is so important. So I know you just talked a little bit in operations about it, but what advice do you give your coaching clients about building a strong team and attracting the right people to their firms? Because to your point, it is so critical in delivering on the mission of helping the injured. Having been through a personal injury case myself, it is critical to the person that's been injured for that to be a good process and efficient, because you're just trying to get over something that's probably been the most traumatic thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah. It's a tough job working in the personal injury space. It absolutely is. You know, your clients are coming to you. They are not at their best. They've been injured. They are struggling. Lord knows that the insurance company, you know, they're not going to do the right thing. Like I've fought with clients before, and they're like, oh, I'm sure the insurance. I'm like, you keep waiting for the insurance company to have a soul and to do the right thing. Let me tell you, they don't, and they're not going to, and it's going to be a fight. And it's, you know, and again, it could take a toll. And the vast majority of personal injury work is, quite honestly, there's going to be a volume piece to it. We work on a contingent basis. We only get paid if the client gets paid. And we don't recover in every single case. So there's always a plethora of cases. Our clients are, again, not in the best space. Sometimes they take their frustrations out on the staff. And it's hard work. So you really want to make sure that you are hiring people with the right traits that are going to do well in this arena and that are going to contribute to your culture, your environment, because you really do need to foster a good team collaborative approach so that when things are tough, team members can lean on each other and they have that support and they're not being antagonistic to each other and not bringing the drama. Because quite honestly, that is really the key to having good retention. People tend to leave managers and bad teams. They don't really leave jobs. So making sure that you've got the right people that meet your core values in place, that you're weeding out the toxic people, I think that's one of the most important things as far as retention. And then, you know, looking at your core values, again, hiring for traits, knowing what traits you need for every specific role within your firm. You know, the traits that you need for a successful intake person, it's different than what you need for a litigation paralegal. You know, so it's looking specifically for those, for that role, making sure that you're interviewing correctly around that, asking the right questions, probing. And again, I would much rather take somebody that has, I believe, meets our core values, has the right traits and build them from the ground up, as opposed to talking myself into somebody that has a little bit of experience doing it, but is flawed, because inevitably they're going to be underwhelming because of their flaws. They're going to frustrate team members and drag everybody down with them. So I would rather take the time, build them from the ground up. And in order to do that, you have to have really good training protocols in place. You have to have good training material. That flows to me naturally out of getting your processes documented. So that's step one, so that we know what we want to get them trained on, what the best practices are, and then really looking at what the core functions are for their job, and then making sure that you are ticking those off and off a training checklist so that you're fully developing people. I think one of the things that happens in the personal injury space with training that's unfortunate is that people get some good front-end training, and then they're given a caseload, and then they get busy, and then the back-end training doesn't happen. And then they're flailing with dockets with that they don't know how to take it to the next level. They don't know how to take it to resolution. And then their docket just keeps growing, and then they end up with distressed cases, clients that are unhappy by how long the process has taken. And then a lot of times that leads to somebody that you've not set them up well for success in their role. They're frustrated and they can just leave. So you have to make sure that training is taken all the way through and that they're getting the coaching and guidance that they need through every step of it so that they know the full arc of the case and how to treat the case and set it up for success from day one to the day the client's coming in and doing the disbursement and getting their check.
There's a lot there that you talk about. Well, it's just so critically important, and we found it here, you know, in building synergy, built it on a very strong mission and culture, making sure that people were a good fit for that. Not that we never made mistakes, because we did. Using, you know, tools like we use Predictive Index to try and make sure we match people with the right skill sets to the right positions. Because if they're the wrong fit, even if they're a good fit on the culture side, that's a problem because they can't execute on the things that are necessary for that position. And then, you know, the training aspect of it is so critical. And, you know, building a strong infrastructure for that training, which is always ongoing, you're always updating it. It's a challenge, but man, the rewards of hiring right, just from purely the standpoint of not having the kind of turnover that frustrates your clients and pushes your business backwards because of the cost of turnover, man, it's so worth the time and investment in building that strong team and attracting the right people to your team.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we'll look for too, if you're hiring for your core values, is that if you've got somebody that meets your core values, but is struggling in a role, you know, you can look at, you know, right person, right seat. Do we have another role here that they may be, if they're a good culture fit, do we have another role that they might be good at? And we've had a lot of success with reconfiguring people that may have struggled in a certain role and then getting them in the right role and really letting them see the success. And then the other thing that I'll say with training is, and, you know, retention is that, you know, people love when you're working with them on professional development. To them, as an employee, that reads, you care about me, you care about what I know and how I'm doing professionally and mentoring me and helping me get to the next level. And it's kind of that loyalty, you know, talking about, you know, getting buy-in. It's if you give that to the employee, you spend the time with them, you give them the training, you give them the development, and you're going to get that loyalty back because you're investing in them and they're going to invest in you and your company. They're going to get bought in.
Yeah, 100%. So you talked early on, and I wanted to circle back around to this, about data-driven decisions in scaling a personal injury law firm. How do you guys, Fireproof, help law firms compile the right data and use it effectively to monitor their performance, make strategic decisions, and ultimately track the key metrics that are critical for growth of the law firm?
Yeah. So I kind of, you know, take a look and, you know, one of my first questions are, what numbers are you running? What reports are you pulling? What are you looking at to, you know, see, honestly, if they're even looking at the right things? Because sometimes it's very willy-nilly. And to me, it starts with, again, sort of the beginning of the case arc. It's, what are you spending on marketing? How are your cases coming in? From what areas? How many calls are you getting, or how many prospects are you getting a week? How many of those are the right prospects on cases that you want? Then looking at those cases, those wanted leads, how many are you converting on? How many of those are you actually getting signed up? And then looking in pre-suit, basically, you know, if you're a good portion of your business is getting pre-suit resolutions, how quickly are you getting those resolutions? What kind of dollars are you getting? What your dollars per day, what that number is. If you're transitioning a lot of things to litigation, how quickly are the files put together to get those into litigation? And then for your litigators, it is really how many cases are you settling a week? For what money? What are you getting cleared out? What are you getting dispersed? And I mean, that's really the core metrics that they should be looking at. So step one is kind of identifying those. Sometimes there'll be a log jam somewhere that I can identify. And it's like, okay, there's a number that we need to look at, that we need to figure out that will help us really monitor that. So we get those KPIs identified. Then we have to dial back and figure out, okay, how are we going to track those KPIs? So it's not terribly efficient if somebody is manually going through and basically creating these scorecards. So then it's looking at their data systems. Is their data reliable? Do they have data integrity? If not, it might be because of procedure failures where people just weren't trained that this field needs to be filled in here. So a lot of times it's updating the processes and procedures, doing some backfill on the data to make sure that we can actually pull meaningful reports, and then trying to automate that. We talk about the Jumbotron with Fireproof, and it's really getting that automated scorecard that is pulling from data that exists, that comes out organically as you're working on the cases, that's not repetitive data entry, and that you're able to look at those numbers in real time to be able to steer. Getting back to your core question, it's really, I start out with I start with a very basic scorecard. Let's get a temperature. Let's get a feel on how cases are moving through, how they're getting settled, how they're getting dispersed, where they're coming from, and then adding to it and adding to it and adding to it as we get further into the weeds and continue to make improvements as we recognize an issue, recognize what number we need to look at, what KPI. And I kind of had this adage that, everybody in your firm should have a number. And I've kind of pressed myself over the years trying to think of roles within the firm where they really don't have a KPI, where there really isn't some metric. How many widgets are they making? How many gizmos? Really talking about production because, again, we like to talk about the practice of law, but we are moving cases through. There is a production element to it. And then making sure everybody's got that number and that it's getting tracked, and that when we're having evaluations with them and giving them feedback, it's not all feelings. We actually have some concrete objective things that we can talk to them about. That, hey, I asked you to get 7 cases into suit per month. You're getting 9 into suit per month. You're doing a great job with that. Thank you. Or I asked you to get 5 demands out the door. You've only gotten 3. Where's the disconnect? Where are you struggling? How can I help you with that?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful thing when you actually have that and can evaluate your performance down to that kind of granularity to make sure that ultimately you're getting the right results. And it's interesting for us because we monitor very similarly, but one of the challenges, and we've been working on solving this, is having more that's looking out the front windshield instead of just out the back windshield so that we can better predict, so that you're making better decisions into the future about staffing to make sure you've got the right people for the capacity that you're going to experience in the future. So all those things that you were talking about is just so critical to make sure that you are operationally sound and making the best strategic decisions you can by having that information right there.
Yeah. And, a lot of times to go back and have this historical data, and that's why it's like, 101, it's like, right from the ground up, like we've got to get a scorecard and we've got to start getting some data, because you talk about forecasting, you need to know, like, historically, like how long does it take for your cases to yield? What are your cases yielding? Because that's really the crux of how you're going to do the forecasting for them, is really looking at those things. And data integrity is just so important. And that's one of the things that we help them out with as well. Our clients is, how are you capturing the data to have the right practice management software, the right CRM? Do you have the right processes and procedures to collect those data points? Making sure that there's as many integrations as possible so there's not the manual entering on stuff.
You talked early on today about bringing the business principles to law firms in terms of how they operate. While that law firm may have found success practicing law, they haven't yet really mastered running their law firm like a business. How, through Fireproof, have you seen the mindset change transform firms that you've worked with? And what advice would you give to law firm owners who still may be more focused on practicing law versus running their law firm as an efficient business?
Oh, that's a great question. I think probably the most consistent issue that I see is the head of the firm still wanting their finger on everything, that they're still the primary vector. And And so one of the first things that I do with a law firm is really try to get to that CEO, visionary law firm owner, and figure out what their priorities are. Where do they want to be spending their time? Because I want them in the highest, best use of their time. And a lot of times there's things that they are doing that it's just a control thing. And it's like prying it from their cold, dead hands. Like, you don't like doing this. It's taking you off task of things that you are passionate about that could be great value adds from the firm. Let's backfill this. Like, you know, do you have somebody in the organization that could be doing this? Can you hire somebody that you can let this, let go of this and have them take that over? And that's just one of the core things on the front end that you need to do. That's probably one of the biggest things when I talk about like the practice of law and the running the business. It's oftentimes you find that what has happened, what's evolved is that really talented attorney that did a great job on a number of cases, maybe a great trial attorney that's helped them, you know, appreciate the success, is out of the courtroom, you know, dealing with HR issues and signing checks and doing a bunch of stuff that they hate doing that's not value adds for the firm. And it's like, okay, let's dial this back. You know, let's talk about some roles that you need. Let's talk about the hats you're wearing and getting some structure in place. You know, mapping that out. I'd like to start with, you know, for your organization, like this would be an ideal organizational chart. Then look at some of the people that you have. These are some people that we can plug into these roles. This may be a role that you're going to continue to do until somebody grows into that role or the revenue increases where you can recruit somebody for that role, but getting that, starting to give them some of those business principles where they can think about elevating and delegating and getting into their sweet spot.
Well, having experienced that myself, it is, you know, it is a transition as you grow, particularly, you know, when you start out and you're a few people, yeah, you're involved in everything. And even as you grow, you may still be involved in everything, but is that good? Is that the best use of your time? Man, it's such a, you know, invaluable thing to realize and see. And, you know, for you guys to be able to bring that, you know, issue to that person who is sitting in that seat for them to begin to understand, hey, either I may need to bring in a CEO or a COO or whatever that position might be, because you can only do so much as one person and you want to make sure you're using your own skills to their highest and best use. So beautiful point, I think, to finish up with. Although I have one more question, and I always ask it for everyone that's been on the podcast, very open-ended, and it's, what's your view as a trial lawyer? For you, I would ask you, what's your view as a trial lawyer and as a business coach for personal injury firms? And I do have to apologize first for asking you this question without giving you some advance notice, because we did talk a little bit for about the process today before we hopped on, but I forgot about this one question. So I'm going on with this so that you have more time. Think whatever you want to say. It really is open-ended. Whatever you want to talk about that maybe we haven't talked about thus far, or emphasize a point you've made during today's podcast.
I guess, to take this kind of as an ending point, it's, one of the things I try to bring as a coach, and I think is important, is that it's not one size fits all. You really have to look at every single firm, every single visionary, and it's, what do you want to build? Look, you know, every single leadership team, where do you want to be? And then mapping it out to strategically get there. You know, I can tell you some successes that we've had, some things that we've tried. They may not be the perfect fit for you. You know, we're there to find the best solutions for you to get to where you want to be with whatever your unique journey is. And that's why I really, you know, want to talk to, you know, on the front end, work with the CEOs, the visionaries up front very closely, because I've got CEOs that, you know, want to just, they've fallen in love with marketing. They want to spend their time marketing and bringing in cases and being in the community, and that's what they're passionate about. And then I've got other CEOs that are passionate about the business, and they've got the business bug, and they're all about growing and scaling and are super involved in the weeds, and that's what they love. And then I've got other CEOs who are like, just give me some great cases and, you know, let me churn on those great cases and do my great attorney work. And I be able to sleep at night knowing I've got really good people, competent people in the right seats that are making the right decisions for my law firm that bears my name. So I will land on that, if you hire Fireproof as a coach, we're not here to tell you what to do. We're here to help you really firm up what your vision is, where you want to be, what your sweet spot is, and then helping you realize that, to give you the tools to set you up, to get you in the highest, best use. So that's where you're spending the majority of your time, is doing stuff that you're good at, that you love, and you can rest assured that your firm is going to be doing great, even if you're not super involved in all those other things.
Some incredible insights, Perry. If someone's listening to the podcast or watching the video and has questions about the things that you've talked about today, or wants to work with you, or wants to refer a case to the firm, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
Email is great. So my email is really easy. It's Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, dot Schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R. And that's at 855mikewins.com.
And we'll include that in today's show notes. Perry, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. And we'll see everybody on the next episode of Trial Lawyer View.
Here is another episode of Trial Lawyer View. We hope you enjoy today's guest and discussion. Tune in to our next episode for more helpful insights from fellow trial lawyers and practice experts. This podcast is brought to you by Synergy. Visit partnerwithsynergy.com to learn more about how Synergy can free your firm to focus on what it does best.